be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
On another occasion, Jesus began to teach by the sea. A very large crowd gathered around him, so he got into a boat on the sea and sat down. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on land. And he taught them at length in parables. And in the course of his instruction, he said to them, "Hear this. A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it had little soil. It sprang up at once because the soil was not deep. And when the sun rose, it was scorched and withered for lack of roots. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it produced no grain. And some seed fell on rich soil and produced fruit. It came up and grew and yielded 30, 60, and 100-fold. He added, "Whoever has ears to hear ought to hear." And when he was alone, those present along with the 12 questioned him about the parables. He answered them, "The mystery of the kingdom of God has been granted to you, but to those outside everything comes in parables, so that they may look and see but not perceive, and hear and listen but not understand, in order that they may not be converted and be forgiven." Jesus said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? Then how will you understand any of the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones on the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear, Satan comes at once and takes away the word sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, who, when they hear the word, receive it at once with joy. But they have no roots. They last only for a time. When persecution or tribulation comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Those sown among thorns are of another sort. They are the people who hear the word, but worldly anxiety, the lure of riches, and the craving for other things intrude and choke the word, and it bears no fruit. But those sown on rich soil are the ones who hear the word of God and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
As we continue in Catholic Schools Week, we allow Jesus to be our teacher. In today's Gospel, we see he began to teach once again in front of a vast crowd. And there are two big things to pick up. First, the method, and second, the substance. Jesus, when he taught, often taught with parables. Why? There was the question specifically asked for by the disciples, and it seems that the answer really wouldn't come from the mouth of Jesus. The mystery of God has been granted to you, but to those outside everything comes in parables, so that they might look but not perceive, hear but not understand, in order that they may not be converted and be forgiven. It's almost as if Jesus is intending that they not be saved. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying, based on Isaiah's words, which he was quoting, was precisely he uses stories because stories involve much more our freedom. When we hear a good story that is an allegory of something else, a metaphor, we've got to work, if our hearts are really open, to see what the truth of it is and how it perceives to us. If I were to say to you, "You're thin," that would be one declarative way, and you'd either accept it or reject it right off the bat. But if I were to tell you a story about a stalk, and, you know, start to describe, you'd start to wonder, is it applying to me? You'd start to engage the story much more. That's what Jesus is doing with his stories, because he doesn't want us to be passive listeners. He wants us to be interactive listeners. And parables are a way in order to bring people to become much more interactive listeners. Stories in general interest us. Stories have multiple applications, and we can start to dig on in and be grasped by it. Jesus is doing all of that, but fundamentally, he wants to engage our freedom in hearing His word, entering into it, applying it to ourselves, wondering about what it might mean, seeing that it has multiple, not just singular, applications. Now to the substance of what He teaches us today. It's all about the way we respond to His teaching. And in this Catholic Schools Week, it's very important for us to grasp how we respond to His word. I've told the story a few times. Those who are daily Mass goers will remember it. I've never been able to forget it. When I was in Italy, I had an Italian psych professor who told the story of one of his colleagues up at the Catholic University of Milan. He had had a student who went on to become an Italian porn star. And this guy was being interviewed in one of the Italian versions of People magazine. And in the course of that interview, the journalist asked, "Where'd you go to college?" And he said, "I went to the Catholic University of the Sacred Heart up in Milan." "No way, way. You must have hated it." "No, I loved it." "What did you study?" "Christian ethics." "You gotta be kidding me." "No, I'm telling you the truth." "What was your teacher's name?" "Well, my favorite teacher," and named the professor. Journalist didn't quite believe that it was all true, but even if it were true, he wanted to interview that professor. Thought it would be a very interesting take in an article. So went up to Milan, interviewed the professor. "I'd like to talk to you about this man." He said he was your student in this year, that he used to sit up in the front row of the class, that he used to actually ask questions during the class, which is basically unheard of in Italy in college classes. It's just a magisterial lecture, no interruptions, etc. That he used to come more or less to office hours, and that he got a 10 out of a 10 on your oral final exam. And the professor said, "That man was never my student." Journalist said, "Is any of what I told you true? Did he sit in your front row? Did he?" "Yes, all of that is true, but that man was never my student." "I don't understand. If he did all of these types of things, if he took your class, if he passed your exam with flying colors, how can you possibly say he wasn't your student?" He said, "I teach Christian ethics. My students are not those who just sit in the class and regurgitate what I say on the final exam. My students are those who hear what I say and have it change their life. They live by it. They just don't regurgitate it and live by other principles. That man was never my student." It's a very important principle. It's the principle Jesus is essentially telling us about His teaching today. That the one who is His student is someone who receives what He says on good soil and bears fruit. Not just a little fruit, not just some fruit, changes a life in a teeny weeny little bitty way. 30, 60, or 100-fold. Big numbers for the Jews. The Word of God changes us 30, 60, 100 ways or more. Let's analyze our soil sample. Jesus asks us today to take an examination of what type of receptivity we have to His Word. First type of soil is the hardened soil by the wayside, the one that would be stomped along the path. Seed couldn't penetrate that hardened soil, and the birds of the air would come and pluck it up. Symbol of what the devil tries to do when God tries to plant our seed. He's going to try to get you to forget everything that Jesus is trying to teach you today, teach us today. We've got to be aware of that. Some of the times we can be too darn stubborn. We've heard it all before, so we're no longer listening. Or we're set in our ways. I mean, the thing that drives me crazy is when people say you can't teach old dogs new tricks. I said, I hope so, otherwise we're going to have an awful lot of dogs in hell. We've got to have that openness. We've got to come and hear the Word of God sitting on the edge of our seat saying, "Change me today, Lord. Give me your light. Change me 30, 60, or 100 ways." Not just saying, "I've got that all figured out. Let's just get Mass over. I've got a lot of appointments today." Second is the superficial soil. Seed hits. It immediately sprouts up. The person receives it with joy. But when the sun comes up, tribulation or persecution, the whole seed withers. In the Holy Land, about 5 inches under the soil was a thick layer of limestone throughout most of the country. And so the seed would go down, the water would be trapped in those 5 inches, and therefore the roots would get a lot of water very fast, but it wasn't deep. There wasn't much water there, and that's why it would all get scorched. In the same way, many people say, I love listening to him. I love listening to her. But it doesn't change. This Italian porn star loved listening to that Catholic ethics professor. But as soon as one sexy girl walked by, it was all gone. Third, thorny soil. Could be good, but there are a lot of thorns. There are other types of growth in there that choke the growth of the seed. And Jesus describes what those are. Worldly anxieties. Kind of obvious. If we come in here and our husband's in the hospital and the doctor's given a very bad diagnosis, it's going to be very hard for us to hear anything. Mm-hmm. We've got to throw our anxieties on the Lord in order to be able to hear them. Or the lure of riches. When our real desire are the material things, we're not really going to treasure what God wants us to treasure enough. Or craving for other things than the Lord. Those are all what intrude and choke the Word. If we're going to bear good fruit, if we're going to be good students, when we come to listen to the Word of the Lord, we must ask what our anxieties are that we're bringing with us to Mass to give them to the Lord. We've also got to take an examination of where our heart is. St. Ignatius of Loyola used to always say that. What's the pulse of my heart? Where is it beating for now? What am I really seeking? Am I really looking forward to breakfast? Am I really concerned about the sporting event that will happen later? Or am I really interested in lifting my heart to His kingdom? And then the good soil is the one that bears a lot of fruit. We can listen to this gospel of Jesus' teaching about good fruit, and we can begin to think, wow, a lot of pressure. The Word today's got to change my life 30, 60, 100 ways. How am I going to do it? It's not the way we're supposed to be listening to it. The Word itself has that power if we receive it well. And that's what this first reading was about. Just very short, David said, I'm going to build God a house. And he goes to the prophet Nathan and, I want to build God a house. I'm living in a palace and he's living in a tent. Makes no sense. He's God. I'm not. I'm building him a house. And Nathan, first thing, because he hadn't prayed about it, said, awesome, David. Would be great for God. Go for it. And then God comes and says, basically, Nathan, you should have talked to me first. You go back to David and you say, you're not going to build me a house, David. I'm going to build you a house. Of course, that was the whole Davidic line. But fundamentally, it was Jesus, his descendant, who would be the house that would reign forever. A lot of the times we'll say, I want to do 30, 60, 100 things for you, Lord. God says, no, I want to do this for you. That the Word of God is always an incredible blessing with power before it's ever a duty or a burden. We've got to receive it that way. And the more we receive it as that incredible treasure, we will bear that fruit. Jesus would say elsewhere, a good tree bears good fruit naturally. So we need to just concern ourselves with sucking in what the Lord wants to give us, because it does have that power to change. And when we receive it in that way, we will bear fruit naturally, charitably. We'll respond to other people differently. We'll start to bear suffering in a totally new way. Jesus today has taught us in a parable so that it will engage our freedom as listeners and as students. May we receive the full power and the grace of His holy word so that we might bear 30, 60, and 100 fold fruit or more and come to that house that God has built for each of us forever in heaven. Praise be Jesus Christ.